This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
Attention, citizens! Due to the financial irresponsibility and incompetence of your leaders, Cobra has found it necessary to restructure your nation's economy.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show that says, hold the bacon. I am your host, the Stimulator, and March was a pretty amazing month. The Wall Street Journal reports that the global economy is back on a path of recovery with an increase of 2% of worldwide GDP.
Stocks soared. A huge GDP report. 3.3% revised up from 1.9%. It basically ends the recession scenario, does it not?
Also, scientists from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change say that trends in global warming have been reversed, and researchers at ExxonMobil have discovered a method to cut carbon emissions from the burning of gasoline by 99.9%. In nuclear news, Russia and the U.S. have signed a treaty in which both countries agree to destroy all nuclear weapons by 2012. In Middle East news, Prime Minister-designate Benjamin Netanyahu has agreed to demolish all settlements in the West Bank and declared the creation of a Palestinian state by Friday of this week. Also, the problem of world hunger has been solved. A cure for cancer has been found. Whiskey is good for you. Cigarettes don't kill you. Ice cream won't make you fat. And Barack Obama is both Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. April Fool's, suckers. In real news, March was more like the year of the pig.
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown.
In Montreal, thousands clashed with the fuzz during a protest against police brutality.
Fuck la police, man!
Tabernacle. Yep, no one does riots better than the Quebecois. Anger against the Montreal Popo was sparked last summer by the fatal shooting of 18-year-old Freddy Villanueva. In Vancouver, police fatally shot Michael Van Hubbard, a homeless man who police suspected was breaking into cars. It turns out he was the wrong man, but the cops felt he had to die when he pulled a very menacing X-Acto knife.
I think it could have been handled way different. I don't think that this man had to die.
Also in Vancouver, hundreds of committed freedom fighters brave shitty fucking weather to confront the so-called greenest games ever, or
the five cock rings of death.
The International Olympic Committee was holding the 8th World Sport and the Environment Conference in my town to push their greenwashing agenda. Well, the motherfucking resistance was there to call them out on their bullshit. Here's Harjap Grewal of the Olympic Resistance Network.
It's a marketing campaign for these companies that have realized that most of the world knows that they're destroying the earth. And what they now need to do is pretend to be green. And what the Olympics provides them, it provides them with the best opportunity to quote-unquote show the world that they care about the environment. And what do we say? Hell no!
In economic news, Wall Street puppet Barack Obama told the American sheeple to take a chill pill and ease up on anger against the greedy capitalist pigs that ruined the economy.
The rest of us can't afford to demonize every investor or entrepreneur who seeks to make a profit. That drive is what has always fueled our prosperity.
Yo, Barack, if you ask me, it's exactly that drive that's destroying the motherfucking planet. But our new commander in shit is simply doing his best to delay the inevitable rebellion. As I have reported in the last four shows, rebellions are well on their way in Europe. In France, over 3 million people took to the streets in protest against the country's economic policies. And on the lead-up to the G20 meetings, demonstrations took place in Berlin, Rome, Vienna, Paris, and Madrid. In London, over 40,000 took to the streets as a prelude to the massive protest planned against the G20. Or the 20 gangsters of the industrialized world. Hundreds of thousands more are expected to arrive from all over Europe and wreak havoc on the close meetings where these punk motherfuckers gather to split up the global pie. Here's Obama's second-in-command calling on the protesters to have some fucking patience.
We are moving as rapidly as we can to change the direction of our country and our policies. But we're going to have to ask and we don't expect to get it, but we have to ask for a little bit of patience.
If you think that's ridiculous, meet Canadian Senator Nancy Ruth. The honorable senator was fucking pissed that geese kept shitting in the yard of her second home. Her solution? Shoot the geese and feed them to the poor. Many suggested that the senator herself became the meal for the less fortunate. After all, she's got a few extra pounds to spare. But I actually like her idea. No. Hear me out. I propose that the government provide hunting rifles and ammunition to the poor and allow them to set up camp in the yards of rich people's homes. That way, anytime they spot a goose, they can shoot it and prevent any shit from reaching the beautiful lawns of the wealthy. This would also help the economy. Last year, I went down to St. Paul and Denver to give media support to the motherfucking resistance during the RNC and DNC. Once that pork fest was over, I went back home and gangsta chilled for a few weeks. But as I was letting the stress drain from my brain, some brave Jedi Knights were locked up and others were facing some serious charges for confronting the evil empire. If you were in the clink, you would like to know that your peeps in the outside world have your back. Well, this week I bring you two very special motherfucking guests, Lindsay Shibley of Crass and Rob Zernick of the RNC8. Hey, Rob and Lindsay, how the fuck are y'all?
Doing well. It's still snowing in Minnesota.
All right.
So, what the fuck is Crass?
Crass is the community RNC arrestee support structure. It's a organization here in the Twin Cities that was formed immediately following the Republican National Convention, and a group of arrestees, legal workers, and supporters came together to plan out our strategy for dealing with the criminal cases coming out of the Republican National Convention, and also as a way to strengthen our movement and strengthen the attention brought to the issue of police brutality and the arrests that we saw during the RNC.
Why is RST support so important?
People who have to go through the court system and go through jail, that can be a really isolating experience. And so arrestee support is a way of like the community coming together to help the people who have been most directly targeted by the police state. And it also helps bring political attention to some of the like intense abuses by the Ramsey County Sheriff and Hennepin County Police Department, the FBI, and all the law enforcement agencies that were here for the RNC.
Every movement has its flares. Ours being the RNC at this point, and directly after, there's generally a receding point where, like, you either completely drop off and fail each other and, you know, create a situation where, like, it isn't a movement, it was just a social happening, or you sustain each other through and have another flare where you go even higher. I guess Crass seeks to do that, and that's why it's important.
So, who the fuck are the RNC 8?
The RNC 8 are a group of organizers who got rounded up during the 2008 RNC. They were targeted specifically because they were anarchists or radical. Now they're facing up to 12 years in prison time, four felonies, which two of are conspiracy felonies and, you know, contain terrorist enhancements, which is the first of the use of the Minnesota Patriot Act in history, I guess.
Are the RNC 8 terrorists?
I guess it all depends who you ask. if you ask anybody who has probably the slightest amount of a fucking brain, no.
What precedents could be set if you are found guilty?
Our case sets a precedent in the sense that a group that was not necessarily doing it too much different than, say, like Code Pink minus like the hierarchy and their organizing is now being charged as terrorists. You know, essentially the same thing as like people who like strap bombs to their chests and go kill people. You know, it sets a precedent that like if found guilty and if we're convicted, we'll open up an entire like floodgate for, you know, more charges against, you know, people like Code Pink, people like, and you know, United for Peace and Justice, or, you know, what have you, maybe Oprah, I don't know.
And that about does it for this edition of Is the End of the World As We Know It, and if you'll find. For links to Crass and the RNC 8, or to comment on the show, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Join us next time for a discussion on the importance of pirate radio with renegade DJ Skidmark Bob.
We refuse to go legal because, first of all, we don't want to censor ourselves. We want to be able to, you know, say fuck and shit and piss and all those other great words.
And don't touch that dial.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
The five cock rings of death.